going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 20 in just a moment. The title of our message this morning is Celebrating a Not-So-Perfect Mother's Day. You know, today, as we know, we are celebrating Mother's Day, which is the most widely celebrated holiday in the United States. In fact, research tells us about 96% of all people will observe Mother's Day in some way. According to statistics, some 122 million long-distance calls will be made to mothers today. And 20% of all flowers given throughout any year are given on Mother's Day. Which reminds me of the story of two young children, 6-year-old Johnny and his 4-year-old sister Susie, who gave their mother a Mother's Day gift. It was a spindly little houseplant with a few leaves. It looked a little bit sickly, but it certainly wasn't the best looking plant, but they had bought it with their own money, and Mom was just thrilled. She hugged and kissed her kids, and she told them how very much she loved them for thinking about her and getting her this beautiful gift. Johnny said, "There were some other flowers that we wanted to buy for you, Mom, but we just didn't have enough money." "Yeah," said Sister Susie, "they had a real nice bunch of flowers at the shop, and we wanted to buy it for you." The mother interrupted and said, "But I love this plant." "I know, Mom," said Johnny, "but these flowers would have been perfect for you. They were in a wreath, and they had a ribbon, and it said, 'Rest in peace.' And you know, Mom, you're always asking us for a little peace so that you can rest." Mother's Day is a wonderful occasion to honor mothers. Amen. It's a time of celebration in which we remember our mothers and express our love and appreciation to them in special ways. But we also have to remember that there are some who never knew their mother. Some might have been raised by a stepmom. Some might have had an abusive or neglectful mother. Then, of course, there are those who are mothers themselves, but their children are grown and far away or have gone astray, and they feel lonely and they feel sad at this season. Or there are some whose children are prodigals, and the heart of these mothers is heavy and broken for their sons and daughters. And the list could go on. So amidst all the cards and the flowers and phone calls and dinners, we need to know that even though this is a wonderful and beautiful day, it is also a day of mixed blessing for many. So today we want to talk about celebrating a not-so-perfect Mother's Day, and we want to look at a woman's life and circumstance who was celebrating, in effect, a not-so-perfect Mother's Day. Read with me, if you will, 1 Samuel 1, beginning at verse 10. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly, and she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought that she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." And then in 1 Samuel 2:1 it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong." Verse 5, "The childless woman now has 7 children, and the woman with many children wastes away." According to her own words, Hannah said that she was filled with great sorrow and anguish. Yet by chapter 2, she is filled with joy and with praise and with fulfillment. She felt empty and unfulfilled one moment, but now she feels satisfied and joyous. We want to look at her journey and consider how her sorrow was turned to joy, so that in the midst of the imperfectness of our own lives and circumstances, we too can find joy and fulfillment. Yes. The first thing I want us to look at is the reality, the reality. In verses 15 and 16, Hannah describes herself as being discouraged, as being in great anguish and in great sorrow because of her situation. And you see, when we look at the reality of many of our situations today, we see that we face the reality of broken families. Hannah was in a messy family situation. She was the wife of Elkanah, who was also married to Peninnah. And in those days, polygamy, of course, was widely practiced and accepted in society, even though it was never God's will. And even though I've never watched the television show, I've seen previews for a TV show called Sister Wives, which is absolutely disgusting from the previews I've seen. Well, Elkanah could have had his own reality TV show, because he had all sorts of mess going on, amen? Hannah and Peninnah didn't get along, as you might imagine. Hannah was infertile, and Peninnah, well, she had no problem popping babies out. And she loved to rub it in Hannah's face. Every year, the whole family would take a trip to go to Shiloh, where the tabernacle of the Lord was, so that they could worship the Lord. But and they all had to be together for that trip. The rest of the time, maybe Hannah could have tried to ignore the situation, but now the whole family had to be together. And there was Peninnah with all of her children, and there was Hannah feeling out of place, lonely, incomplete, and like a failure. Even as Hannah went to the house of the Lord to worship, she was filled with sadness because of her situation. And the reality that we see from all of this is that there are no perfect families. All of our families have issues. If you don't reach up and polish your halo, because all of our families got issues. And holidays, families, occasions, and days of celebration can often magnify those issues, because it brings us together in close proximity, or it reminds us of those who are not with us. And the intensity of our feelings of sadness and loneliness can actually be magnified on days such as this. So today, behind all of the cards and flowers and celebrations of Mother's Day, there is also sadness in some hearts. There is a myriad of painful situations that people are dealing with behind their Sunday morning smiles and their holiday greetings. We face the reality of imperfect families. And we face the reality of impossible situations. Hannah was barren. She was unable to have children. Now, for women in biblical times, infertility was about as bad as it could get. It was viewed as a curse from God, a punishment for some terrible sin that she must have committed. And in society, it was a sign of disgrace if women could not have children. In ancient society, it could even be grounds for a man to divorce his wife. Now, quite possibly, it was the very reason for which Elkanah, her husband, took another wife so that he could have children with Peninnah. Back then, of course, you know, there were, no fertility doctors and no artificial insemination. The way that they dealt with infertility is often just to marry another wife. And when Elkanah did that, Hannah must have felt so inadequate, so incomplete, like such a failure. And as they went to Shiloh to worship God and everyone else was celebrating, Hannah was filled with sorrow. So much so that the scripture says she could not even eat. I mean, have you ever been so sorrowful that you even lost your appetite, you couldn't eat? And there might be some here today who have tried for years with their husband to have children, and it has not happened. And for them, Mother's Day serves as a bitter reminder of their inability to have children. And there are many here today that are facing other impossible situations. And while everyone else is singing and rejoicing in the Lord, maybe your heart is heavy. And that's the reality of life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a sin-fallen world. And that means that we have messy family situations and we have impossibilities that we are facing. And at this point, you might be saying in yourself, wow, Pastor, this is not the kind of Mother's Day message I came to hear. It's such a downer.
Keep it real, Pastor.
And it certainly would be if we stopped here.
Keep it real.
But this is not the end of the story.
Right.
We move on now from the reality to the remedy. And Hannah teaches us some very important lessons in this story. Have you ever noticed how mothers can teach us some of the most important lessons in life? I want to share a few with you from an article I read titled, Things My Mother Taught Me, and maybe you can identify with some of these things. The article said, my mother taught me logic. She said, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. She also said, if everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? The article goes on, my mother taught me humor. She said, when the lawnmower cuts off all your toes, don't you come running to me. My mother taught me genetics. When I acted up, she said, you're just like your father. My mother taught me anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're gonna get it when I get home. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that that stain comes out of this new carpet. My mother taught me stamina. You're gonna sit there until you eat every last bit of spinach on your plate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. And that's just a few of the important lessons that mothers teach their children. But Hannah, she teaches us how to deal with the difficult realities of life. And the first thing she teaches us is that we need to pour our soul out to the Lord. In verse 10, it says, Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Later on, it says that she spoke to Eli and said, I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Now, a lot of times when we go through stuff, we may pour our heart out to a friend, to a family member, or to a pastor. And while that may give us some momentary emotional comfort, folks, they really can't help us. But when you pour your heart out to the Lord, that is where you find true comfort, true strength, and true help in your time of adversity. You see, Hannah knew where to go. She knew where she could find help. She knew where she could find comfort for her soul, and it was at the altar of God. It was in the presence of the Lord. Tears expressed the deep feelings of our soul. She was crying unto the Lord. And tears express the deep feelings of our soul where words fail us. What moves the heart of a mother more quickly than the tears of her child? And she will do anything within her power to help her child when her child is in pain or is crying. God is also deeply moved as our loving Heavenly Father by the tears of His children, and He moves to act on our behalf. It was the tears of Israel that moved God to come down and deliver them from the bondage of Egypt. It was the tears of a prophet's widow in dire poverty that moved God to fill her jars with oil so that she could sell them and provide for her family. It was the tears of a mother who had lost her son as she clung to the feet of the prophet, refusing to let go until God moved and restored the life of her son. It was the desperate cries of the father of a demon-possessed boy and the cries of a Syrophoenician mother on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter that moved Jesus to heal and to deliver their children. There's a gospel song titled, Tears Are a Language That God Understands. And one of the verses says, I won't sing it for you because I want you to stay, but one of the verses says, often you wonder why tears come into your eyes and burdens seem to be much more than you can bear. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears, and tears are a language that God understands. Folks, we can bring the burdens of our soul to the Lord. Things that we can't share with anyone else. Things that perhaps no one else would understand. Things that we might not even be able to put into words. But God understands, and He is standing near to comfort us and to move on our behalf. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Let us learn to pour our soul out to the Lord. Secondly, Hannah teaches us that we need to pray expectantly. We need to look for God to do something. Amen. Verse 18 says, then she went back after Eli said to her, you know, let God grant you the prayers of your heart. It says she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. She left from God's presence different than she came. She was distressed and troubled when she came to the altar, but she left her burden in the presence of the Lord, and she walked away with peace and assurance that God had heard and that He would answer her prayer. She walked away with expectancy in her soul that she was trusting and serving a loving God who had heard her and who would indeed move on her behalf. We need to pray in the confidence that God loves us, that He hears us when we cry, and that He will move on our behalf. So we move from the reality to the remedy, and now finally we look at the reversal. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 and 5 again. But I want us to understand that in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it's referred to as Hannah's song. It is Hannah praising God for what He has done in her life. And she sings this song not when she conceives her son, but when she comes and surrenders her son back to God. She gives up the very thing that she wanted so badly. She gives it to God. And that's when she praises the Lord. And the song exalts the greatness of God. And the longest part of the song deals with how God reverses the situation of those who love and trust Him. And the first thing we see from this song is that God turns our mourning into joy. Yeah. Folks, when we come and pour our soul out before the Lord, when we place our trust in God, when we look to Him expectantly, He turns our mourning into joy.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Man, what a dramatic difference from the verses that we read earlier where she was bowed down with anguish and with sorrow. And now she says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Amen. Hannah came to the altar of God's presence in sorrow and in anguish, but afterwards she is filled with joy and with strength. You know, the psalmist says it a little bit differently as he sings praises to God. He says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. Now, in Hannah's case, God gave her a son. But the principle, the spiritual principle for all of us here that we can take home with us is that God is faithful. That God hears, that God answers prayer, that He moves on behalf of those who love and trust Him. And He will reverse our situation, turning our grief, turning our sorrow, turning our pain into an occasion of rejoicing. Hallelujah. We also see here from Hannah's story that He turns our emptiness into fulfillment. In verse 5, she says, the childless woman now has seven children, and the woman with many children wastes away. Folks, what she's saying is that the childless woman, she's talking about someone who was once barren, who was once empty, who was once destitute. But because they have trusted in the Lord, she uses an imagery of having seven children. It's not that she had seven children, but the number seven speaks of completeness or fullness in Scripture. So she's using the imagery of having seven children to illustrate how God comes into a life that trusts Him, and He fulfills that life. He satisfies that life. He causes that life to overflow with joy and with satisfaction. Hallelujah. But the person who doesn't trust Him, the woman with many children wastes away. She's making a contrast here. The person who doesn't trust Him, it doesn't matter what they have. It doesn't matter what they have. They are not going to find true and lasting happiness. They're not going to find true and lasting satisfaction and fulfillment for their soul. Hallelujah. That is found only in the Lord as we trust and serve Him. Barbara Johnson, in her book, Stick a Geranium in Your Hat and Be Happy, writes how she lost 2 sons to death. And she says, another son to a gay lifestyle. But she said it was that last son that grieved her soul the most. He just left. And she didn't know where he was for the longest time. For months, she fell into depression and had finally decided to end her life. She was going to drive her car off a cliff. But before she could, she saw a billboard scaffolding that looked like a cross. And it was there with tears streaming down her cheeks that she heard the voice of God say to her, "Lay Tim, her son, at the foot of my cross." Wow. She got out of the car and she simulated carrying her son and laying him down at the foot of the cross. She prayed, "Lord, I give Tim to you. You are his Savior, not me. You are God, and I am not." And with that, she turned and she walked back to her car. And she said, the depression lifted. And there was a return of joy to her spirit.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
But she said, I had to let go.
Thank you, Lord.
I had to let go.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know what you might be facing this morning. What sadness, what family issue, what impossible situation. But I do know that God loves you.
Oh, yes.
And that you can bring your burden to Him and He will hear you. He will hear and understand your tears. And He will come to you and He will comfort you and He will fill you with His joy and with His strength and He will move on your behalf. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before your presence right now, Lord God. And we are so grateful for your love towards us, Lord God. Lord, in your word, you've even compared your love to the strength of a mother's love and how difficult it is for a mother to abandon her child. But in some cases, even so imperfect, mothers do abandon their children. But you said that you will never leave us. That you will never abandon us. We thank you that your love is unconditional and it is everlasting. And we thank you that you love us deeply and you care about everything that we're going through. Father, I pray this morning that your comforting presence would be made real in the heart and life of every person in this place today that may have come here with sorrow, that may have come here facing a messy family situation, that may have come here facing an impossible situation. Father, wrap your arms around them this morning. Touch them.
Yes.
Minister to their hearts. In Jesus' name.